Welcome to Facing the Situation, Building Spiritual Resiliency Podcast with Prophetess Mary Ayodele. I'm so glad you're back. I'm glad I'm back. Let's begin. Giving honor to the Most High, who's ahead of my life, I am thankful for us gathering once again to apply the sacred wisdom of the sacred word to our daily experiences within our personal lives, our lives with our families, and our lives in our communities. We are thankful, we are grateful, and we are deeply appreciative for all of the resources and all of the factors it took to come together, to bring us together, to hear this podcast and to produce it and to share this information and this wisdom with the world. We ask for the continued grace, protection, and guidance of the Most High in our lives, now and forevermore, in the name of Yeshua the Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad you're back. This is season 5, episode 3. In this season, we are discussing recognizing the rhythms in your family's lives, okay? Recognizing the rhythms in your family's lives. And this is part 3 of that discussion. I am in the Gulf of Mexico bioregion of Houston, Texas, in the United States of America. It is October 18th, 2020. It is a month where family comes to the forefront. And that means family who are currently embodied and families who have left their physical bodies and have journeyed over to the realm of the ancestors and the realm of the bosom of Abraham. All faiths are welcome here. This is a exploration of the wisdom system of Judeo-Christianity. That's what I follow at this time. And anyone who's listening who doesn't follow that is welcome here. These wisdom teachings have been presented to me to share as timeless teachings applicable to all situations. So what that means is if you're listening and you're Buddhist or Hindu or Wiccan or another path, you are perfectly welcome here. This is not a podcast or a presentation that's only for a specific group of people. And as I continue to talk about different ways to access and embrace and actually intentionally live out this wisdom, you will hear me specifically say, if you're connected to the Most High this way, that way, I'll talk about the differences is what I'm saying in the experiences of people depending on where they walk. So if you listen to past seasons, you'll hear me say, well, if you want this to work this way, you'd want to be connected to the Most High this way. Otherwise, these are the results you may expect. So feel free to listen to the prior 4 seasons at your leisure. The Most High has directed me to organize this in a way where the situation with these podcasts means they're fluid. This is not a linear process. So if you listen to any one of these podcasts, you can pick season 1, you know, podcast 4, you can pick season 2, podcast 1, wherever you jump in is where you need to jump in at. You haven't missed something that you need to go back and hear in order to act on what you hear today. Each episode stands as its own experience. If you choose to listen to an entire season, yes, there is a mosaic that will come together for you, and you'll see a collage of different wisdom that will create a beautiful quilt by His grace in your life. If you choose to listen to one episode and this is the only one you ever listen to, may the blessings be upon you as well, and may His grace guide you so that this wisdom can bless your life and the lives of many. Now, last week, many things have happened, but last week I talked about families in relationship to public rituals. and how that plays out, how to notice patterns, like what does your family do when it's performing or participating in a public ritual, actually participating. This week, we're going to talk about noticing the patterns in your family when your family are performing a public ritual. Now, what do I mean by public rituals? Last week, I talked about elections. So here in North America, in the United States of America, elections are coming up at the federal level for a president. And so I described that as a public ritual, and I described the different pieces of it and how people interact with it. That was last week. This week, we're going to talk about that was participating. Most families don't make that happen. Now, some families are definitely making the whole thing happen. So hello to you all out there if you're listening. But for the majority of my listeners, they are not making the elections happen. For those of you who are, hang on anyway. Most people are simply participating in it. They're not the producers of it. This week, we're talking about public rituals that families produce themselves. Okay. So I'm calling them rituals because many times we are involved in a spiritual process and we've been taught not to know that. So we've been taught purposefully to ignore spirit in certain things that we do, so that we can rationalize it and maybe take some of the superstitious fear out of it. I don't know. In my experience, I've seen that when the spiritual components are removed from a situation, it usually leads to some other system wanting to supplant that in order to manage people or direct people's lives, right? So for example, people who don't accept spirituality on any level will believe in science. So science becomes their new God. They believe in it. They believe that, you know, if it's in a microscope or in a laboratory, it's real because whatever their reasons are. And they actually will tell you, I believe in science. If there's a new scientific study that came out, that's more, that's something they believe in more than they would believe in, say the angels or having a dream where their grandmother told them not to go to work that day. They would just think that was, you know, too much Netflix they watched the night before, too much beer. But if someone who they don't, you know, have never met or what have you, puts out a new scientific paper and tells them, you know, they can eat an onion every day and prevent, you know, glaucoma or something, they would believe that. They believe in science. So in some people's lives, they remove the spirituality concept altogether and they put science. And then there's the other side where some people remove science altogether and only believe in spirituality. So that's another discussion to come up for another podcast to dig into the pieces of that and how, if you see that pattern in your life or the lives of others, how to dance with it. For today, we're going to stick with public rituals that families produce. And why I call it a ritual is because there are certain identifiable components that are definitely founded on a spiritual foundation from where I sit as a Christian spiritualist and prophetess that families enact regularly. They may have not remembered or they may have lost the idea that it's a ritual. So 50 years ago, 40 years ago, even 45 years ago, which may be like ancient history to some of my listeners, people used to talk about dinner time, but it was a very different concept than now, where people were supposed to get together in the family and eat at a certain time. So this is so long ago that kids used to go outside and play. Stay with me. There was a time where people came home from school, children, they changed from their school clothes to their play clothes, and play clothes and shoes were clothing that kids could use to go outside and play. And outside was okay to go into, not like now where there's a lot of cameras and it doesn't matter. Back then you were encouraged to go outside and play. And there was a certain time you would stop doing that. You'd be told to come inside for dinner. And the idea of dinner wasn't where you went to drive through and grabbed a bag through the window and ate French fries and watched a movie. The idea of dinner was to sit at a table with other people who you loved or loved you or family members, right? And you would sit with them and you would not watch TV, and there definitely wasn't a telephone involved in it. If someone called during dinner, they would apologize if you even answered, and you would eat this meal with them. And before you began to eat, in most families, there was a blessing over the food. Even if the family didn't really go to church or what have you, in most families, somebody would bless the food. Now, as that ritual began to fall apart, I remember when TV dinners came out. Y'all don't even know what that is anymore. But TV dinners had to be cooked in the oven. You didn't even have microwaves. And it was a big controversy over, should you sit and watch TV and eat a dinner? And it was decided that only single men who were bachelors were doing that. And they were sad and lonely. This is a true story. But time has morphed. And now we think that eating in the car out of a paper bag is normal. Right? But this is a different time. But that was a family ritual. And if you were invited into another family's ritual, they would invite you over to dinner. Okay. Now, there were some families who didn't pray over their food, but the ritual of getting together and sitting down together every day was expected. And if you brought a friend, that was a nice thing. That was a friend that you wanted your family to get to know. And you wanted your friend to know your family. It was a sign of respect to introduce your friend to your family and for them to stay for dinner. It meant something. Okay, some families didn't do it, the prayer, the blessing, but we had something called Thanksgiving dinner. And that's a holiday in America based on some things that happened a long time ago that really are being retold truthfully now, but it's a national holiday in America. And it's in November. And families who normally didn't get together maybe for the whole year, right, would plan to get together on that day. And there would most likely be a blessing that day by the eldest person in the family or by the owner of the household where the dinner was held. That's a public family ritual. Why? There's food. There's a place to put, a very special place to put it. There was usually a special tablecloth. There were special dishes to eat on that people didn't eat on every day. People may have come from out of town, actually spent money, took off from work, drove hundreds of miles, sometimes thousands, to go home for Thanksgiving was a ritual that many people performed, especially college students or students in boarding schools. People who were away from their families would come home for that holiday. And I don't have to mention Christmas, the same thing would be reenacted. So now we are in a time where we are losing contact with our public rituals for families, our performance rituals for families. And we are kind of scattered a little bit. People feel out of sorts. And this is not due to the current health crisis situation necessarily. The health situation that we're facing now, for listeners who may be hearing this at a different time and space and don't know what I'm referring to, many places around the world are experiencing a current pandemic dealing with COVID-19. And some people may think that COVID-19 is the reason why things are falling apart. And that's not entirely true, honestly, from where I sit. Things had already fallen. And COVID just kind of put a spotlight on it, right? What I mean by that is a lot of people are no longer embracing, understanding, or really care to perform these public rituals anymore with their families. In this podcast, we're going to discuss the rituals, though, because they're important to recognize the patterns in your family. So if prior to this current health situation, this national global health situation, your family was not getting together for regular dinners daily, they were not even eating together once a week, they didn't get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holidays that are specific to your culture and background, then your family's performance of a public ritual, because it's not a secret thing, you know, everybody, you know, gets together, have been impacted. And you want to notice those patterns. As I've said many times in this podcast, you are perfectly capable of creating new traditions. We haven't discussed it at length. However, in the creation of a new tradition, it's important to examine what the old traditions were based on. And before they're thrown out the window altogether because your politics have changed or your religion has changed, you want to examine why those traditions were there, what their purpose were, and what the spiritual reason was for them. And what has happened in many cases, people change religions or they become estranged from their family and they throw out everything, right? And then they start new things that don't quite work out and fulfill the spiritual and emotional and mental needs that those rituals were set up to fulfill. Okay, so the three public ritual performance rituals that families used to perform and yours may still perform are family reunions, there are weddings, and there are homegoing ceremonies or funerals, right? We can also put some subcategories in there, such as, you know, baby showers. Now I think we have gender reveal parties. That's a new tradition that's kind of showing up that people are embracing here in North America. And we also have graduation parties. These are public events in many cases. Yes, there are exceptions where some people have had to have secret funerals, right? But in many cases, 99%, these are public events, weddings. We can also put in baptisms. You want to notice how your family moves around those things. You could even say to yourself right now, you can make a list. How many baptisms have my family held for the member? It doesn't matter if they're babies or not. Depending on your religion, they may be babies, they may be adults. But how many baptisms have I attended in my family? How many have I even been invited to in the past 10 years? There's a rhythm for you to notice. Does your family have that pattern? How many weddings? How many funerals? How many graduation parties? We could also put in their housewarmings. These are all public rituals that families perform. There is a stage of performance for each step. You have to respond to the invitation. There's certain gifts that you're expected to bring or funding you're expected to provide. Rituals are meaningful and they have a purpose beyond getting people new toasters and stuff. I mean, we've kind of lost the spiritual meaning in them in many cases, but believe you me, there is definitely a spiritual meaning in bridal showers or baby showers. Most people get the baptism part, right? But weddings, funerals, of course, there are spiritual family reunions. There are spiritual foundations in those. And I would encourage you all to make a list of the times you've been invited to these events lately, or past 10 years, past 5 years. If you've turned down those invitations, notice your own rhythms. Notice if you've invited other people and they haven't made it. This is not to indict people for not coming, okay? This isn't to pull up old wounds and things of that nature. What you want to do is notice the rhythmic patterns in your family around these public performance rituals, meaning rituals your family are expected to perform. You all get the food, you all set up the table, you all rent the venue, you all get the flowers. You're not going to somebody else's thing. This is your family member that is putting this on. You're related to these people. Look at those. Pay attention to them and step back from it and see if the rhythms and the patterns you see are desirable or undesirable. We've been talking about that this season. And depending on what you see, if it's desirable or undesirable, you are able to interact with that reality spiritually in order to elevate and help raise the vibration of your family. And that includes you. So this is not a podcast talking about how to fix other people because they're wrong and you're right. That's not what we're talking about. See, I said your family. You are connected to these people, okay? So they're not all needing you to come fix them. I'm suggesting that the patterns that you uncover, you are a part of that pattern as well. And you want to pray for yourself and your family. If you haven't seen them or talked to them in 20 years, it doesn't matter. This is family and you pray for them. And I'm also including family of choice. Many of us have built family with people for many reasons, culturally, historically, politically, we have family that we've made that are not necessarily biological family. So this conversation includes all your family. Start with your biological relatives and spread out, you know, because we're all interconnected. Me, you, and everybody listening to this podcast are part of a dynamic, interconnected web of life. And so look at your patterns, pray for yourself and others. If you have any questions about what I've brought up for you or anything came up you'd like some more insight on, you can write me at prophetessmaryayodele@gmail.com. I'll be glad to answer your question individually, or sometimes I get enough people asking the same question. And the last show, podcast episode of every season, is when I answer questions on the podcast. So it's quite likely that your question may be answered live on the podcast, okay? So once you notice these patterns, it isn't about judging them. It's about really getting clear if they're desirable patterns or undesirable. And no matter which one they are, you want to apply prayer to them. Prayer of gratitude that you see the pattern, a prayer of gratitude that there is a pattern, prayer of gratitude that you have family. And if you find yourself without family and without being able to make a list of the last time you got an invitation or gave one, that's okay. You're part of this family now. You're part of the human family. And you pray sincerely to be embraced into a warm, loving household of love and faith, and it will happen for you in the name of Yeshua the Christ. Now, what I'm speaking of means being in alignment with the Most High and the will for your life, meaning fulfilling your destiny on earth as given to you before you were born. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're all coming back to in these podcasts repeatedly, right? So I love you all. I'm glad you're here. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and tuning in. I want to thank all of you who donate and support this podcast. It makes a tremendous difference. Because of you all, we will be offering this podcast now twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. Sundays and Wednesdays. That's been a blessing that's been revealed by the Most High over the past 3 to 4 weeks. So this is your Sunday podcast. There will be one on Wednesday. Thank you all so much. You have no idea the blessings you've been able to sow into the lives of so many others with your generosity and your kindness and your prayers. I thank all of you who contact me when the podcast does not upload correctly. And because of many of you all and your support, we will be moving this podcast to another host. I have not located the host yet. I am thankful for Anchor.fm, and I'll do everything I can to make sure the podcast is always available here. However, we will be moving to another hosting site, and that was revealed in last week's podcast, and I'm repeating that now. Keep coming back to Anchor. You know, don't lose this site. And if you're listening to us on any other podcast distributor like Spotify or iTunes, keep coming back. We'll keep you updated about where we're going. And if you Google this podcast, Facing the Situation, you'll be able to find us, Building Spiritual Resiliency. So let's talk about our verse for the week. You know, every week there is a verse that I share with you. And I encourage you to read this verse at sunrise, because I'm praying at sunrise and I'm going to be working with this verse as well. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit more about sunrise, maybe on Wednesday. Okay, our verse for the week is, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Once again, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. One more time. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I encourage you to read that verse in any translation of the Bible that you have. Write it down, print it out, put it on an index card, create a journal with it. These verses are given to you to have you Remember that in your times of plenty or in the times of not so plenty, there's a wisdom, a living, breathing wisdom system that's here to help you, that wants to walk with you and will never leave you in your life. So these verses are given to you as spiritual medicine. They're given to you as an anchor. They're given to you as flowers in your garden of life. Memorize them, work with them, write them down, look over them every other day. Pray with them as I will be doing in the morning when the sun rises, wherever you are in the world, whenever you hear this, whatever time and space, if you hear this 10 years from now after I made this podcast, pray with that voice. You know, time and space is not static. It's mutable. And this wisdom system has existed for thousands of years. We're speaking of it in English now. However, it exists in other languages and other times, long before English was even created. Apply this to your life. Embrace it. Know that you are loved no matter what your situation is, no matter where you find yourself, no matter how confused you may feel sometime, no matter if you look out your window and you don't even recognize what other folks are doing, that's okay. You're loved just where you are and where you are. Trust in the Most High to have you in the palm of His hand. Okay? Happy Rosh Chodesh. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh, the new moon. I wish you a happy new moon, a happy new month, wherever you are. That's what the new moon symbolizes throughout many faiths throughout this world. Happy new month. Remember to step into your new month with love and light and joy, knowing that whatever you face, you can build your spiritual immune system and build your spiritual immunity so you'll be prepared for whatever comes. And you're not building your spiritual immunity to prepare for the worst. No, no, no. You're building your spiritual immunity the same way you build your physical immunity, because that's what you are empowered and charged to do as a child of the Most High. It's like breathing to you. It's like walking to you. It's what you do. And as you do that, your strength will radiate out, and the vibration of that will affect the people around you and your community and even the world in an uplifting, harmonious way. So let's go out and bring harmony to the world, being who we were designed to be, fulfilling our destiny. In the name of Yeshua the Christ, amen. I love you all. Be safe, be well, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Until we meet again, kisses and hugs. Bye-bye.